Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places. This is Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired profiles singer-songwriter Anna Modorsky and the re-release of her CD, Talk Is Cheap. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to another edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there, and today I'm pleased to be giving it up for a dear, dear friend of mine, Anna Modorsky. I first became acquainted with her late last year when she released her CD, Incantation, but before the release of that CD, she released the CD, Talk Is Cheap, under the name Roos. Now, Anna Modorsky is re-releasing the CD, Talk Is Cheap, with new arrangements and new recordings of her brilliant songs. I got a chance to speak to Anna once again regarding the re-release and her approach to songwriting, but we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. Here is Anna Modorsky with the title track of her CD, Talk Is Cheap.
Shut tight.
That was Anna Modorsky with the title track of her CD, Talk is Cheap. Visit Anna Modorsky at myspace.com/AnnaModorsky. I had a chance to speak with Anna about the album a few days ago. Here's how it went.
Well, Talk is Cheap is a re-release, and I think when you released it before, you released the album under a different name, right?
Yes. I had my little moniker, Rouse, and then I just gave that up and said, you know, I'm just me. I'm just going to keep my name.
Why? I mean, initially, why did you feel like it was important to release it under a name, the other name?
You know, that's a good question, and I think it has more to do with my mental process of did I want it to come across as more of a band, or did I want to come across as more of a singer-songwriter? And I think maybe I just shied away from the fact that I was a singer-songwriter, because I find, categorically speaking, I get nervous of getting lumped into that. But I've kind of embraced it, and I'm okay with it now.
Okay. What do you think compelled you to re-release the album? You know, I mean, Incantation, you know, hasn't been out for a year yet, and why now?
Because first of all, I'm just a person with a sense of urgency in general. So when I finished Incantation, I had already been having my doubts about Talk is Cheap, the original version, and how I felt about it. So then when I did Incantation, it kind of set a bar, and, you know, the more you work at your craft, the more you have higher expectations for the sound and everything, and I just felt it didn't live up to its vision. So I, you know, retracted some stuff, I added some stuff, took away some stuff, changed the song order, you know, and now it feels like it's complete. So
a completely realized Anna Modorsky release, in other words.
Right, exactly. It feels like the album Talk is Cheap, I feel like I've done it justice, so I feel much better about it.
I see. And if I may say so, the cover is pretty eye-catching. Well, who's the artist?
The graphic designer and CD, you know, layout gal is Alana Lindner, and she's amazing. She did Incantation as well in terms of the layout. I had kind of an idea that I gave her, and she said, you know, I'm going to challenge you. I have an idea that I think trumps yours, and it did, and I totally conceded. So that's the direction we went, and we took, you know, she had this great idea of, she goes, I want to incorporate images that are from the lyrics, that are evocative of the lyrics, because you have such visual imagery and lyrics that I want somebody to, like, be listening to it, catching words, and want to look at the cover and find that symbolism, since evidently I write very symbolically.
And talk about how music began for you as an individual. How did that begin?
How did it begin? Well, I mean, it's hard to know where it ends and begins. I mean, I think it began young, and I didn't realize how much of an obsession it was, and in a real conscious way of saying, okay, this is how I identify myself, until I was a teenager. But, I mean, it began in more natural ways of, I was, you know, grew up listening to my mom singing lullabies, or classical music, or music on the radio, or, you know, my dad was a professional classical guitarist, my brother is a piano conservatory, I took classical piano lessons as a kid. So it was something that was part of my life. It was just never an identity that I embraced for myself. That's an entire backstory we can go into when we have more time. But it wasn't something that I felt comfortable embracing until I was a teenager. And when I wrote my first song, and it just kind of hit me like lightning that I knew it was my calling. And it wasn't an easy thing to accept that for myself, but it superseded everything else. So
I remember when I interviewed you for Incantation, you talked about how each song was a character. Do you think that's the same with Talk is Cheap?
No, I don't. Talk is Cheap is more of a breakup album. That was like there's several layers to it. Incantation was one step removed. It was more of a, you know, exploration I had in my observations, where Talk is Cheap is a lot more personal of an album, I think. Even though music is personal in general, these are more, it's more of a narrative of dealing with something and I think in a way it was basically dealing with emotions that after a breakup or after a situation where you realize that you'd muzzled yourself for a long time and then finally realizing, wow, I really need to kind of digest this now. And it came out fast and furiously in a cycle of songs. That was that.
I'm kind of asking you to go back in time with this next question, just because, you know, Talk is Cheap initially was released before Incantation. How did you go about writing the songs for this, for Talk is Cheap?
I picked up a guitar and keyboard and started playing. It was really that simple. I remember, actually, I have a clear memory of the first notes that happened, and it was the song Talk is Cheap, and I had that little guitar. Like, I was just in this moment where I was just sitting there, and it was just one of those moments in life where you're like, what decisions in my life have brought me to this point right here? You know, just those, like, those self-reckonings where you're like, how the heck did I create this mess? Because clearly I have to take ownership for this mess I've now found myself in. And I picked up the guitar, and it just, my hands went to those chords, and those first couple lines came out on the song Talk is Cheap, and then it was just, you know, weeks of just, you know, head in my instruments and lyrics, and it just all came out.
I see. And what songs from the re-release, you know, stand out for you the most personally, and why?
The most personally? Well, that depends, I think, on what mood you get me in is what's most personal. I would say the song Evidence of Me really has that, within the cycle of writing the song, that Evidence of Me was the first song that I kind of had any sense of peace about the situation, where it wasn't just anger or frustration or all those, you know, more difficult emotions. It was just this kind of sense of calmness, kind of eye of the storm sort of thing. And it just reminded me that regardless of what lack of external evidence of me or what I'm trying to do or what I'm trying to accomplish in life or in a relationship, even though certain things may fall apart, that does not erase my worth or my value or what it is, my potential of what I can contribute. And I think in life we're taught a lot that if there isn't some sort of external manifestation, if there isn't some sort of success or applause or a relationship or a ring on your finger or children or a house or whatever it is, then you're, you know, you lack value. And sometimes just kind of got to erase that and realize, okay, I am this person that has this worth and that has this value. That's good enough.
Visit Anna at her official MySpace page, myspace.com/AnnaMadorsky. From her CD Talk is Cheap, here is Anna once again with Evidence of Me.
I can stay here all day where there's no evidence of me. Not
maybe for about a year since I've known you. I mean, you've been, you know, you've been taking requests from your fans and doing cover songs. Talk about that a little more. When did you start doing that?
Well, I started doing that, I think, some point last year, maybe. But, I mean, as in terms of interpreting songs, I've been doing that since the beginning of time of music. Like, I've, you know, various shows or when I'd have weekly gigs or this and that, like, doing covers is just something that that I do. I love music, so I love interpreting things, and it really, to me, taking it a step further from just saying, oh, I like this song, or I want to cover this song because I could make it interesting, or it moves me, or it doesn't move me, and I want to cover it, whatever the case may be. It's different when on the YouTube thing I do is that it's other people requesting it specifically. So it's like a song that maybe that I wouldn't necessarily think to cover, and it just forces you to see a song in a different way, or it forces you to it kind of pushes me in a way that I wouldn't necessarily think to push myself, because obviously somebody else's brain is, you know, introducing that input, and it's a really cool challenge. So I love anything that challenges me, because I'm competitive like that.
do you think it ever, you know, sort of, you know, helps your own in your own songwriting at all, working with someone else's work?
Yes, I think so. I think it's like anything. Like, I think it's like any skill that anyone has. If you know, like when an athlete does cross training, I kind of see it as cross training, you know, because you're developing a certain skill and you're pushing yourself as much as you can, but when you're forced to flex that muscle in a different way, it kind of creates another pattern of thinking, and it kind of gets you out of your comfort zone, which is always a good thing in anyone developing any sort of craft, whether it's mental or physical or both.
I see. And I read somewhere that you're putting a band together and going to start doing some shows. How's that coming along?
Good. I have, you know, working with a drummer who's amazing, and I am in the process of solidifying a guitarist, and I kind of want to have a sweeping sound, so I'm trying to put the right group of people together to do a live translation, and I want to keep it as small as possible. I'm trying to get away with making it a trio, so we'll see how that works out.
Okay, and what would you like someone to come away with after they've heard this album, Talk is Cheap?
Well, I mean, I don't have any specific hope or expectation as far as what they come away with. I think that for me, my takeaway from this album after I finished listened to the final product was, I think it's just allowing yourself to explore darker, I don't know, emotions that you may not have, and it's a very present, I don't know how to explain it, but the energy of it is a very present thing, and it's very, there's a lot of anger, and it's more of a band, and it's driving, and it's got that whole thing going, and I think it's just a way to give yourself permission to feel whatever you feel and say what you need to say, and the whole idea of the title Talk is Cheap is somewhat of an irony, because there's plenty of references throughout the album of communication and a lack of communication and how destructive and violent lack of communication is. And that's clearly evident, you know, in our world and politically. And those, as I was writing the album, the other layers of the album besides just a breakup album is a reflection on kind of the state of the world, because, you know, the macro is as micro. So I was looking at the demise of my own relationship and how lack of communication and all these things kind of created that, and it's the same thing happens in warring cultures and, you know, Christians versus non-Christians. I just recently watched Lord Save Us From Your Followers, which was done by an evangelical Christian a documentary on the culture wars and how, you know, are we becoming a secularized country or not, and what's going on, and how everyone is on the defense and everyone is constantly putting little quips and sound bites to show their big, you know, their big stripes of who I am. I'm a liberal, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm an atheist, I'm, you know, and it becomes ridiculous because everyone becomes just like a bumper sticker or a fish on a car. You know, it's the Darwin fish eating the truth fish. And it just becomes this, like, how I call it, I just kind of, it's like an arms race of thought and bullshit, honestly, because it's not two people sitting down and talking, it's two people saying, having these really just blanket statement words of I'm this and you're this and that's that, and that gets you nowhere. Whereas when you actually sit two people down in a room and hash it out and talk it out, you end up finding a middle ground. So as I was watching that a few days ago, I'm like, yeah, that was pretty much kind of what my album was trying to say, is that yeah, you have to walk the walk, but communication is important, and following through with the words you're saying is absolutely devastatingly important in if we're to coexist in our relationships and as a society.
Is this documentary on YouTube at all, or is it just come out, or?
Netflix.
Netflix?
It's the most brilliant thing ever. You can watch it instantly on Netflix. It was really nice for me to see that. I consider myself someone without belief in either way. You know, I'm not convinced either way because I'm an evidence-based person, hence titles like Evidence of Me. And it's nice for me to see people of all, you know, whatever label you put yourself on, ultimately it's more important how you treat each other and how we treat each other, right, rather than, you know, it's more important to get along than to be right. I think that's the point. And I'm not it's not instructive, you know, it's not a how-to, it's music. It's this is my expression of my thoughts and my perspective and my feelings and my passion. And if it moves you, fantastic. That's the aim, is to get it for make you think something or feel something. It's, you know, if it creates an impact, then I've done my job.
And what do you think is next for you musically? In terms of musical direction, you know?
Well, I've already written the next album, and I'm already starting to do research on where I want to go in studio.
Okay.
So I'm a really prolific writer, so that's something that, yes, I have written the next record. Tentatively, it's either going to be called Love in Spades or Triumph in Symphony. I'm not sure which. And it's the most optimistic thing I've ever written, and I'm really happy about it because I know it's really reflected a change in my own mindset. I think Incantation was dark, and it was that was the point. It was exploring really dark thoughts and kind of existential crises of, you know, lack of meaning and lack of feeling of belonging. And I think optimism and hope and feeling belonging is a choice in some way. And I think that was part of my learning curve my process of learning curve as a person after Incantation. Because after I wrote Incantation, I'm like, where do I go from this? Records are very much chronicle where I'm at. You know, you can tell where I'm at based on what I'm writing. I cannot lie in that way. And the next record has definitely shown this much more, you know, hopeful, optimistic side. And optimism has been a very difficult thing for me to learn as a person, honestly. And it's, I feel like I've nailed it, and it's great.
Visit Anna Modorsky at myspace.com/AnnaModorsky. From her CD Talk is Cheap, here is Anna once again with Marking Time.
Until you're done with all your crying, this liquid umbrella is your eye. You carry the sadness through each dark step, and in my due process, mark your time.
That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. Special thanks goes out to Anna Madorsky. Visit her at myspace.com/AnnaMadorsky. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com.